All right. This morning, I have a question for you. Do you have people in your life today that are there for you through thick and thin? Many of us might refer to these types of people as lifesavers. A person that is there for you in some of your most challenging moments in life are going to have a dramatic impact on you. There are a lot of people that we could identify that would be considered someone that is always there for us, whether that be a spouse, that could be a best friend, it could be a family member, it may be a good coworker. Now, most of us could probably place someone into each one of those categories. This morning, I want to share someone different that has been a blessing in my life, and that would be my neighbor, Ray Shriver. I don't know if you guys realized, this winter has been a little bit heavier than what we have seen in the past few years. And with both of our boys moving on to the next stage of their life, that leaves Tracy and I with shoveling all of the driveway. And this winter, specifically, sometimes that shoveling felt like it was a little overwhelming. And when it got overwhelming, there was Ray Shriver driving his tractor and clearing the way. See, Ray Shriver has been there for us ever since we moved into what used to be his daughter's house. Ray Shriver, whether it be problems with cars, whether it be the driveway, whether it be issues with the lawn tractor, or something going wrong with the house, Ray Shriver has always been there, through thick and thin. So I hope that you can identify some people in your life that you can rely on, that are there for you. And I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to share with people at your table. Talk about someone in your life that is always there for you. Go ahead. All right, let's go ahead and wrap up the conversations. It was fun visiting some of the tables, hearing about some really incredible people that have influenced all of you. And those people that you've shared with each other probably likely have that quality of character that we've already been talking about. The aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that we're going to be looking at today is faithfulness. Now, we've already gone through the definition. Now that I've distracted you and given you some time to talk about something else, guess what we're going to do? We're going to go right back to the definition, all right? So, faithfulness is a God-induced steadfastness evidenced by keeping our word, deepening our worship, and maintaining our walk. And no, I'm not going to do the twist like PD. All right. So, in that definition is a reliability to both God and others. It's important that people can trust us, right? Because if we're ever going to get to the point where we want to share Jesus with them, they've got to be able to believe what comes out of our mouth. And they should be able to rely on the fact that we're going to follow through and do what we say. Now, when we first accepted Jesus Christ, we made a decision, right, that we're going to follow Jesus. And I'm pretty sure Jesus expects us to keep our word. And as we keep our word, we're going to find in our lives, we're going to continue to do what we've been asked to do, honoring God through our lips and through our lives. And as we honor God, that will deepen our worship. And in deepening our worship, we are also going to maintain our walk, because it's going to be our desire to honor Him every day. So some of you might be asking, growing in faithfulness, where do we start? Well, we know that faithfulness starts with God. I'm going to share a verse with you. It's in Psalm chapter 33. It's verse 4. It says, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does." Doesn't say He's faithful when He feels like it. Doesn't say He's faithful sometimes. He says He's faithful in all He does. And it isn't going to take you very long in reading your Bible before you find over and over again God's faithfulness. We see God's faithfulness to Abraham in the birth of Isaac. We see God's faithfulness to Daniel in him protecting him in the lion's den. We see God's faithfulness to Elijah as he was confronting the prophets of Baal. We see God's faithfulness in David's life as he was hunted by Saul. And we could go on and on and on. And that faithfulness continues with his son Jesus. And we're going to be looking at a number of ways today that Jesus evidenced faithfulness, just like we're talking about the evidence in our definition. Now, our text is going to be found in Mark chapter 6. So if you want to turn there, we will be primarily looking at verses 45 through 51. These verses deal with Jesus walking on the water. Every time I read this, I was like saying to myself, I wish walking on the water would have been one of those spiritual gifts or talents that would have been applied to people. Because I would absolutely love to walk out on that lake, step up next to Don Weiser's boat, and say, "Bro, how's the fishing going?" Now, it always helps, though, to know what happened just before that. So, when we look at the verses that precede verse 45, Jesus and the disciples have just finished up with feeding the 5,000. So we already know that Jesus and the disciples have had a really long day. And I'm pretty sure that we would all agree that a long, busy day tends to bring on fatigue, tends to drain us of the energy that we're going to need in order to do what else needs to be done. And that weariness many times can negatively impact our ability to live a faithful life for Jesus. Because if we're honest, What do a lot of us do after a long day at work? Most of us are going to plop our bottom on the couch or in our bed, and we are just going to ignore a lot of the important things that we have to accomplish and get done. Now, in these verses, 45 through 51, we're going to find Jesus sending. We will see Jesus praying. We're also going to see Jesus watching over, as well as coming to the aid of others. We're going to see him encouraging, as well as teaching and sharing life. So let's take a look at how Jesus responds to a busy day and see how it compares to how we respond to a long day. So some observations as I was studying through this, we're going to look at three. The first is Jesus prioritized his relationship with the Father. Have you been faithful in keeping open communication with God? It's a good question to ask ourselves. We're going to look in verse 45 of Mark chapter 6. And in verse 45 it says, immediately, remember this is following the feeding of the 5,000, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. So here we see Jesus making it a priority to go straight to the source. Just like from our definition, we've determined faithfulness is part of God's character. All right? And he made a choice to spend time in prayer with his Father. Remember, we already established that faithfulness starts with God, and Jesus returns that with faithfulness to take time to check in with God, to recharge his battery, and align with him on what is next. I was reading through a book that had a statement in it that stuck with me. It says, God is the root, and we bear the fruit. So if nothing else, hopefully you'll walk away today and that's going to ring in your head over and over and over again, because it's important for us to understand that if we're going to have a chance at growing in faithfulness, we need to be connected to our Heavenly Father on a regular basis. Because oftentimes, we choose to try and tackle this all by ourselves. We try to build faithfulness into our life under our own power. Let me ask you, how has that gone for you? Doesn't normally go very well. See, God, through the Holy Spirit, is there to build into our character if we will just submit to the help that he offers. It's pretty simple, right? We know the help is there. All we have to do is submit. Observation number two, Jesus helped his friends. So we've talked about some of those people that are in our life that are there with us through thick and thin. Have you stood by someone who is struggling and going through difficult times? For most of us, we can identify times where we have and other times where we haven't. Now we're going to look at verse 48 through 51. It says, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples struggling at the oars, because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the water. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. So they cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Jesus did something very important that many times we miss. And that was being aware of what was going on with the people around him. Far too often, we get distracted and caught up in our own circumstance. We don't see what is happening in other people's lives. So it's super important for us to be watchful, for us to be aware when people are struggling. How many times have you passed that person on the road and their car is broke down? And sometimes we don't even notice them. Or we're like, I don't have the time. I can't help them out. So being aware, understanding what's going on in other people's lives. But Jesus took it a step further. Jesus went out to them while they were struggling against the wind. And when we see people struggling, just like Jesus, we should be compelled into action. It should cause us to take steps to help those people. Now, when they saw him, they were afraid. They thought he was a ghost. This guy is walking on the water. But Jesus reassured them not to be afraid. How many times have you, in your interactions with people, found that someone is so overwhelmed by their circumstance or what it is that they're dealing with, you just don't know what to do to help them? Sometimes they may just need some encouragement. Sometimes they may just need someone to listen. But if we don't see a need, we can't meet a need. So it is really important not to miss what Jesus is giving us in his example here. Third observation. Jesus demonstrated the importance of staying on God's mission. How have you responded to weariness when there is a task that needs to be done? We're going to look in verse 51 again, second part. It says, immediately, he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And then in 51, he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. And they were completely amazed. Through this entire process, Jesus was reminding the disciples, through the power of God, that no matter what the struggle is, God is in control. Because struggling against those oars all night, the wind against you, you were already tired and weary from the previous interaction with a 5,000, and all you can see is your circumstance. All you can see is your struggle. And Jesus had to remind them, take courage. God is in control. It's really easy to forget that. Because when we're in the midst of something that has really beat us down, we don't go straight to God. There is no reason for us to fear what might come against us, because we can have confidence in Him with us to keep our eyes on His mission, because we know that God has our back. Remember, God has a mission for each one of us. God should be able to rely on you and rely on me just like He relied on Jesus. Now, in order for us to follow Jesus' example, something really important that we have to make sure we have, and that is an understanding that completing the task that Jesus has for us is our main priority. Whether it be through the feeding of the 5,000 or Jesus walking on the water and calming the wind, God is there with us through that process. I want you to look at, I want to share Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Now, these are the words of Paul. And Paul is taking Jesus' example and living that out as well. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, it says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the good news of God's grace." So ask yourself, self, is the task that Jesus has given you your main priority? Or are we like the disciples who over and over again, and we're just looking at two instances here where God reminds the disciples, have faith, God is in control. Is the priority that Jesus has given us more important than my job? Is the mission that God has given me more important than my comfort? Because this morning, when Petey asked you to go be a prayer partner to somebody, I guarantee there's a number of people in this room that thought, oh, snap. No way. Ain't happening. Having confidence in Him, making the mission that we've been given our priority. So as we look at Jesus' example in Mark chapter 6, we're going to look at a few ways in which faithfulness will be evidenced in our lives. All right? Some simple things. The first way, our relationship with God will be a regular part of our everyday lifestyle. You've heard Petey use that word already, lifestyle. And that is developing good habits into our everyday life. So let me ask you, are you intentionally dedicating time to getting to know God better? I'm pretty sure most of us could ask that question every single day, and we could probably look at ourselves in the mirror and we could say, I can do better. One of the ways, simple, is we can make prayer a regular part of our day. A lot of people believe, I pray before every meal, I'm good. Right? A lot of us grew up that way. That's how I grew up. I prayed before every meal. And I thought that was enough. Pray when you have a decision to make. I didn't look up the statistics, but there's usually a number that they say the amount of decisions that we make in a day. And if you have any anxiety or any trouble about how I'm going to make a decision, where can you go? Pray when you're facing challenging circumstances. That's probably the point when most of us will go to God in prayer, right? Is when we need something. Don't forget to pray prayers of thanks when something good happens in your life. Let God know that you're grateful for what He's done in your life. Now, this is something I don't know that a lot of people consider. A way that we can get to know God better is to talk with each other about what God is doing in each other's lives. Sharing how God is working in our lives can help us to know His ways better. Because sometimes we can't see a way out. Sometimes, even when we're on our knees and we're praying and we're seeking and we're hoping, we can't see a way out. A lot of times, though, someone else has gone through what you're going through. And when we share those things on how God is working in each other's lives, that can help us get to know His ways better. Another obvious one. Make the reading of your Bible a priority. How many of you would say you could do better in that area? God has blessed us with His living Word, revealing to us who He is and what He's done. So who can tell me what we're doing with our reading plan right now? Does anybody know? The Harmony Study. How many of you are going through this? All right. The reading of our Bible is going to be one of the ways that we can get to know God better. I know for a fact, Don Weiser and Colin Paul have a group of guys. They use the Bible app, and they are consistently doing a plan on the Bible app together where they can comment on what they learned during the day. It wraps all of this together because a lot of times in those Bible plans, they're prepared with prayers. The comments allow you to talk over what you're learning with the people that you invite to participate in the Bible plan together. And it gives you the accountability to regularly be in the Word of God. So whether it be through the Harmony Study, which we're learning and going deeper with what we're reading in the Harmony Study in our home groups, or whether it be taking advantage of some of the technology and using plans that we can connect with other believers and regularly be in God's Word is super important. And when I say the Bible, YouVersion Bible app, if you don't know what that is and you'd like to know, come see me after church. I'd love to show you everything it can do. It's as simple sometimes as the verse of the day. And the cool thing about the verse of the day, I looked at the verse of the day today as I'm opening up my YouVersion. And I just thought it cool, the verse that it gave. James 5, chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "Is anyone among you in trouble?" And then it says, "Let them pray." "Is anyone happy? let them sing songs of praise. I just thought, well, cool. I get to share that with people this morning. And it was just a reminder, right? You'll be amazed how just the verse of the day sometimes can hit that spot that you may need. And it's just a way for you to get started in being in God's Word more. All right, number two. We will actively invest our time into the lives of others. Are you aware of the needs of people around you? Or, like we've already established with the disciples, sometimes we get distracted. We get caught up in what we want to do. Some of us are just loners. That used to be me. I was totally happy. Just leave me be. I'll stay out of trouble. I won't cause any grief for anybody. And let me be. But if you haven't learned yet, we were designed by God for relationships. Have you figured that out yet? Interacting with people around us should be a priority for every single one of us. Now, don't get me wrong. We've already seen how Jesus went off to a solitary place, but he was doing what? He was praying and talking to God. So you can take that example, but that doesn't mean that you're just going out there to get away from people, because his intention was to speak with God. Keeping our eyes and our ears open. I don't know if you figured out that with social media, it is just a spewing of what is going on in people's lives. Correct? Is it really that hard for us to find people who are struggling? Is it really that difficult in this information age for us to find people that are going through difficult times? There's opportunities all over the place. And I mentioned it already, but sometimes the biggest help that you can give someone is just to listen and let them know that you care. And that's a problem that I have dealt with, because I'm one of those people that as soon as I hear someone who's dealing with something or struggling with something, I want to fix it. So sometimes listening can have as big of an impact on somebody's life as trying to help them with their problem. Talk with people about what is happening in their life. Take an interest in what is going on in their life and the things that are important to them. Because usually, if you strike up a conversation with someone and you're like, well, this person isn't very talkative, sometimes all it is you just haven't found out what interests them or what's important to them. When you finally figure out what it is, their eyes light up and they perk up. And once you get a hold of a subject that's meaningful to them, now we're rolling. And now we can start to find out more about what's going on in their life. And when you find out more about what's going on in their life, you know what? You may get an opportunity to pray for someone. Be something as simple as an upcoming job interview. Maybe it is something difficult that they're struggling with. Maybe it's just a family member that's sick. But if we don't keep our eyes and our ears open, it's really difficult for us to be able to help anybody if all we are is caught up in ourselves. Another simple way, if you want to get into the lives of others and help other people, there's opportunities right here at the church. You could get involved in a ministry, whether it be greeting team or tech team or worship team. Not only are you going to build relationships with people, but you're going to fill a need. Serving at one of the community events that we do. What's coming up? The Easter egg hunt. Tracy? Jillian? Are we always in need of volunteers? Always. Always. You want to help? It's really simple. And you might be able to snag a piece of candy in the process when you come filling eggs. You may be able to get to brighten someone's day by going to the Easter egg hunt and helping and meeting some people you may not know. You could get involved in one of the organizations that our deacons are involved with at the church. The deacons, a lot of times, take a group of people to serve at the rescue mission, just serving people food. Simple things. We do service projects. A lot of times, whether it be before the Easter egg hunt, before the Nashville car show, before the maple syrup festival, we go out and we do what? We clean. We try and make things look good for the event that's coming up. And then you'll be more inclined to maybe participate in those events. And guess what? We're cycling through those people God intends for us to have an impact with. What about volunteering at events or organizations with the schools in your area? Do they need people to help as well? Yeah, they do. That could just be helping in the concession stand. Has anybody ever done that? Helped in a concession stand? Thank you, George. Thank you, guys. Because guess what? Those kids at those events are the next generation. And when they see people who are willing to offer up their time and help, that's going to have an impact on them. You could volunteer at a sporting event. Soccer games, they need people, ball boys. I can't tell you how many soccer games I've been to where there's no ball boy. Oh, what a pain. That ball gets kicked out. Somebody's got to go retrieve it. It's easy, simple stuff. You could chaperone a school trip or a dance. Tons of opportunities. Let's get it even simpler, okay? Because there are opportunities to have an impact on people's lives all over the place and in many different ways. How about just paying someone a compliment? How many times do you come across, whether it's at work or wherever you may be, shoulders are slumped, head is down, their day looks like it's just ruined? Sometimes paying a compliment to somebody, their posture changes, the look on their face changes, and who knows what God will do through it. Simple act, random acts of kindness. We've heard of people who, going through the drive-thru at a fast food place, pay forward, pay for the person behind you, all kinds of things. All right. Third thing. We will begin to live out the mission that God has for our lives. Have you taken ownership for your development as a disciple? Now, I'm going to help you out here. Our mission at Grace Church is to help people be disciples who make disciples. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with the term disciple, we look at it as a follower of Jesus, learning to live as Jesus lived, and then walking along someone else and helping them do the same. Pretty simple, huh? Grace Church provides all kinds of opportunities for you to grow in your discipleship journey. I already mentioned one of them. So when we talk about the Harmony Study, our home groups are going through this. So for a relational group setting, consider getting involved with one of our home groups. In our home groups, we dig a little bit deeper, and we walk beside each other in life as we support and encourage one another. Because sometimes you look at some of this and you're like, whoa, what am I supposed to get out of that? Spending time with other believers and going through that together, because what you might get out of it may be something different than what I get out of it. For a more classroom type setting, we offer a wide variety of classes. Some of you have already signed up for the ones that have been just starting. And in the classes, it's a way for you to help grow in your knowledge, but also in ways that you can put that knowledge to use. For a more one-on-one setting, we offer our mentoring program, where we dig into what it means to be a disciple by loving God, learning about Him and His will for our lives, living purposefully and passionately, and leading others to do the same. I know that's a mouthful, but mentoring, much like if you were to just learn something new, usually it helps to connect with someone who has done it, who's experienced with it. So it's like an internship. You just life on life, learning about Jesus and walking through the process together. So we've talked about a number of simple ways, all kinds of different ways, that we can grow in the area of faithfulness. All we have to do is be willing to submit to the will of God in our lives. Remember, God will develop the fruit of faithfulness in us to the degree that we are willing to allow Him to grow that in our lives. So if we're honest with ourselves, it still comes down to, yes, I've been presented with how Jesus did it. I've been presented with a number of simple ways that I can take steps to improve in the area of faithfulness. But it's on us to make that a priority. Is God's mission for my life more important than that Sunday drive in my muscle car? Is it more important than my sports? Yes, I did spend a couple of hours watching Michigan and Lindeborg hit the game-winning three at the buzzer. Go Wolverines. But where does God's mission for our life stack up? Is it a priority for us? Pray, pray, pray. Involve God in your life. Look for opportunities to help others. And take ownership of your growth as a disciple. Three areas. Let me pray for you. Lord, we just thank you today for your faithfulness, for all that you have done. And we just ask that through your Spirit, you will continue to build and grow the 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Help to remind us in those moments when we get so focused and caught up in our circumstances, in our earthly desires, that you're still in control And that if we will just submit to your will, those nine aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit will begin to build each one of those. And help us to understand we're not going to build all nine of those to the same degree all at the same time. Help us to focus on one of them. And as we improve in that area, then we'll be able to grow in the others, because we know that they're interconnected. And we know that the Holy Spirit is faithful to build those into our lives. May your people make you and the mission that you have for us a priority. And we just thank you for it. Amen. Lisa?